Test, test, test 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2. This is September the 5th, 1985. The field worker Nancy Nuz.
Okay, I'm at the home of Maria Hosas, yes. And that's in Homestead, Florida. And at the end of this tape, Maria, I'm going to ask you to sign the agreement that we talked about that says that the tape can go on deposit at the Florida Folklife Archive. Okay. Is that all right with you?
Yes.
Okay. I'm not getting much on here, so. Test, 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 test. Testing, testing. You might have to move this closer. Okay. Now, we've already talked a little bit about some of the cooking that you do, but if you wouldn't mind, Maria, would you just explain to me again how you make your salsa? And then I'll ask you a little more after that.
Well, the salsa that we ate this morning was made of a hot pepper, tomato, onion, and a little bit of garlic.
Okay.
But the way I did it, this specific salsa was made out of cooked peppers, and I put it in the blender, and I put some onion, and then I put some clove of garlic in there and mix it all up. And then I put a can of whole tomatoes in it and a little bit of salsa, which is tomato paste, and put a little bit of salt. Put it all together. But by this time, I already had my cilantro washed, and I cut it up in the leaves, just the leaves, and I put in the sauce at the last.
Tell me what you use the salsa for. What do you eat it on?
The hot salsa, we use it on our food. We put it over our food, like white people put ketchup over their meats. Mm-hmm. And that's how we put our salsa over the whatever we eat, beans, rice, meat, or whatever.
Okay.
And sometimes we just fix tacos. We make tortillas, and a lot of people eat the hot pepper just like that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We had a wonderful demonstration this morning on how to make the tortillas. Could you just explain again how you do that?
Well, since I don't know how to make them by hand, roll them up by hand, what I do is I mix my masa with a lot of hot water and just get it thin enough to where you can roll it out. And then what I did was I used the rim of a plate to roll my tortillas out. I use some wax paper, or what I used was the paper from bread. It has to be a plastic. Anyway, I cut it in a square, and then I put it on I put my plate on top of a tablecloth, and then I put the paper over the rim of the plate, and then after that, I cover my dough with it, and then I roll it out with a rolling pin, and then the whole rim of the plate, the tortilla comes out real round, and then you can just cook it in the grill, and it cooks real fast after you get your grill good and hot.
How often do you make tortillas for your family?
Usually I cook my tortillas at night, mostly. But in our Mexican culture, a lot of people make them the 3 times in the daytime.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Why do you cook yours at night?
Because that's when all my family's in the house, and that's when we have our big meal.
Okay. Mm. Do you cook some up for the next day?
Well, preferably not. Mexican people like their tortillas hot.
Can you think of any other dish that we haven't talked about? What was that, Lydia, that dish that you were telling me about with the cow's head? What's the name of that?
Barbacoa.
Oh, barbecue comes from way back in Texas. We got the cattle, the beef head of a cow. And what they used to do is they used to bury it in on the ground, make some leña out of mesquite tree. And they put some leña and they get it real hot. This is in the hole in the ground. And then they get the head and put it, wrap it up in a, you could say a sugar bag, but these cotton sugar bags. And then you put a lamina on top of the coals when it gets real hot. And you get some coals out, you put the lamina, and then you put your head, the kettle head in there. But it has to be in a wet bag. This is a sugar bag or anything, cotton, sturdy cotton. And then you put it in there, and then you put another lamina over it, and then you put your hot coals over it again. And what they usually do, they leave it overnight. But down here, since we cannot do it down here like they do it back in Texas, because the dirt is not the same. Down here we have a lime dirt. Mm-hmm. So we cannot cook our heads like that, cattle head like that. What they do here is I think they cook it in the oven. But the barbacoa comes from way back where we used to bury it. And it comes out better buried, but since we substitute the oven now.
Lydia's sitting over there telling me she still cooks it.
In my house.
In the ground?
Yes, but since this soil has a lot of lime in it, what it does, the heat escapes a lot. And another thing, we do not have mesquites around here. And the leña made out of mesquite is the best for barbacoa.
What is leña?
Leña is your wood, firewood.
Oh, the firewood.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Lydia, later I'm going to have to get you to tell me how you do yours in the soil still. I'd like to take pictures of
it. I think the same way, but...
The same way.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because it's from way back. That we bring this barbacoa stuff, you know, but down here we cannot down here we cannot fix it as they do it back home.
Oh, no.
It can never be fixed like that. Mm-hmm. But we substitute the oven, or if we can bury it, we'll bury it, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. It's not the same.
It's not the same.
You use it basically.
Mm-hmm. Do lots of people still eat this dish?
Everybody eats it.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
Where do you get a head of a cow?
At the slaughterhouse.
Well, sometimes when you're talking to the meat
La Matanza.
Man, and he can be a Raymond, and he can get you.
What parts of the head, tell me about the head, what parts of the head are eaten?
Everything. When you cook the head, you even cook the tongue, you cook the eyes, you cook the brains, you cook everything. But when the head is done, you get all the meat
out.
The brains, the eyes, and the tongue. The tongue has a thick coating over it, but then you just pull it off and it comes off. So you have the meat right there. And it's all meat. What they do is just mix it a little bit or chop it a little bit. And that way you can make your tacos out of it.
Make tacos with cilantro, onions, chile.
Yeah, you put your, what I did there over the barbacoa.
Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Anything you want. Mm-hmm. You put it over the meat.
This is a very, well, on Sundays we eat it mostly.
Yeah.
But it's not an everyday dish. It's not an everyday dish. Our everyday dish is beans, rice, and meat. Meat, rice, and beans. But what we have certain things that we eat mostly on Sundays, which is barbacoa and soup, caldo de res. This is one of our main
Tell me Sunday. How caldo de res is made.
Caldo de res is like crazy soup. You put everything in there. Yes. Caldo de res, you can make it out of oxtail, or you can make it out of pure cattle bone, like the knee, the bones of, calf. You know, the bones, like a knee bone. That's soup bone, what we use. Then we put everything, the vegetables. But a lot of people, to make the soup, they fry their spices before they put it in there. They fry the spices separately. I never do that, but most Mexican people do. They fry their garlic, the cominos and the pimienta, which they ground on the molcajete. They ground this everything up, and this is called the recado. They ground it up in the molcajete, and then they fry it in a frying pan. And while the meat is cooking, they have the vegetables ready. When the meat is very, very tender, then they put the spices that you already have in your molcajete. And after that, they put the vegetables. And that way you come out with a good soup. This is one of our Sunday dishes. And another Mexican food that we have for Sunday is menudo. This is a breakfast. Menudo is very typical around
yes.
here.
This,
this is the Mexican way of getting up in the morning, Sunday
yes.
morning, and
yes.
eating menudo. This is in the morning. We eat it in the morning.
Yeah.
Preferably in the morning.
Sometimes he drink, you know, Sunday, Saturday, and when he wake up, he has the stomach sick, and I prepare menudo, and
that calms him
he
down.
Stronger all day.
Well, tell me how it's made, menudo.
The menudo is made. The menudo is made out of tripe. Tripe. This is the cattle lining of the stomach, and usually when you get it at the slaughterhouse, usually it comes out dirty. You know, it has a lot of since it's the lining of the cow, this is where the digestion goes on and all this. And then you have to wash it real good if you get it from the slaughterhouse. But you can get it at the frozen department. It comes out all right too. But most Mexican people prefer to buy from the slaughterhouse because they wash it as many times as they feel that it's clean. And this is tripe. And then they cut it up in strips and just cook it the same way you cook soup. You cook it, and then you can put some patas de res or patas de marrano. This is beef feet or pork feet. You can put some in there, and after it's cooked, well cooked.
Is it cooked in water or
yes?
Cooked. When you say cook, it's water.
Okay.
Okay.
Mexican.
Yeah. Well. It gets to where it gets real, real tender like. Then you make your mix, your menudo mix. You can make it from chile de color. This is a spice we use. Chile de color, oregano. But sometimes we buy the packet that's already, it says menudo mix, so it already has everything in there. But when you make it from scratch, you have to put that chile de color, oregano, and peppers, and garlic. And you have to fix it like you did the recado for the soup. You fix this. And then you put it in the soup. Put this in the soup. And by this time, you have your hominy. A lot of people prefer to cook their hominy. But there's canned hominy. So all you do is drain the hominy. Don't put the water of the hominy. Just drain it out and put the hominy in the menudo mix, and the menudo soup that's already cooked. And you already put your menudo mix, so you put your hominy at last. And that's your menudo. You let it cook, or set it on a low frame until you get it right to that stage where you want it. Now, a lot of people put a little bit of masa. What I did there for the tortillas, you dissolve the masa, like I did for the tortillas, you dissolve the masa, and you can put some in there, because this won't make it as watery. This would give it a texture for the menudo. So this is a Sunday meal, very, very preferred by Mexicans, menudo.
Breakfast only.
Yeah, I eat it all the time, but a lot of people eat it just in the morning. The menudo. This is, another thing. The menudo is like sauce in colored people. You know, the colored people, they make their sauce out of jaws and ears, pork ears, and all this. You know, they cook it together, and they do the similar to our menudo, sauce.
Okay, now I want to talk to you briefly about some of the traditional medical beliefs and practices that you've used in raising
Jonathan,
your
Jonathan, deja el gatito, pues se va a morir.
And first of all, Maria, tell me how many children you have.
I have 12 children, and I raise my children. And while I was raising my children, there was not all these benefits that we have nowadays, like free clinic, free doctor, and so on. So what I had, I had a doctor which took care of my kids most of the time, but this was a doctor, a family doctor who knew us from way back, which considered the people, and I didn't have to pay as much. And then he had some examples, medicine examples, he used to give me some of those. But since I have 12 children, I cannot be running to the doctor all the time. So what I learned at a very early age is how to use medicinal herbs and spices for medicinal purpose for my children.
What type, can you think of anything? Like if a child came down with a la gripe, or what would you do?
Well, I have some experience, and this is my own. I do not recommend for people to use no medicinal herbs and spices unless they have had a good teacher like I had my mother, so or older people. I do not recommend nobody to use no medicinal herbs unless they really know for a fact that they do work and the amount that they're supposed to use and all this. Because one time I had my daughter very sick with an earache, very hard earache. And what I did, I put a little bit of shortening on a teaspoon, and then I put a piece of onion while the shortening was very hot under the flame. I got the shortening very hot, and then I put a little piece of onion on it, and then while it was sizzling, I put a little bit of cotton in there. But cotton, not when I was bringing up my children, cotton was cotton. It's not like cotton today. Cotton today can be substituted by fiberglass. This is one of the reasons I say if you don't know how to use it, don't use things, medicinal herbs and spices, unless you really know. But cotton, we have to be very careful with cotton when we're nursing a person, because cotton can be substituted by fiberglass. And if you don't know the difference, you're going to create a rash or something on the child that you're nursing. Well, anyway, I put a piece of cotton in my hot shortening, was sizzling with a piece of onion in it. And then I work it out in my fingers the best I could after the cotton was soaked. And I work it real good in my fingers, feeling that it wasn't so hot. And then I put it in my daughter's ear. After a while, that earache was gone. So I do have a lot of experience with home remedies and medicinal herbs and spices. we have found that the albahaca is good for babies when they have a stomachache. We have found that albahaca and like lemon tea, grass lemon or lemongrass. What I've gathered out of it is that it's good for nerves. You boil your tea and you give it to the babies, and so on. What I do too is when I was bringing up my babies for the first, to get up the first flames out of a newborn baby, what I used to do was cook a lot of cominos and then give the baby some cominos. And that would help the baby clean it. It's from all the flames that a newborn baby has. And that's how I used to raise my children. I have a lot of medicinal
What are cominos?
Cominos is another spice. It's a cooking spice.
Oh, okay.
It's a cooking spice, but you can. It's like seeds. You cook them, and then you give the tea to the baby.
What would you do if the baby had fever?
If a baby have a very high fever, what I used to do was boil a lot of borraja. Borraja is medicinal herb. But you use the leaves out of the borraja, and you cook it like a tea, and then you give the tea to the baby. And another thing that I used to do for my babies when I was bringing them up was that I used to get some shortening on the palm of my hand, get some shortening. I usually do everything with my hand. Anyway, I would smooth it out with my other hand like that. Smooth it out real good, like it cream, until it was like a cream. Then I would put a little bit of baking powder on it and cream it until it come out real, real cream-like. And then put a little bit of alcohol in it and just keep on beating it and making it into a good cream. Then when it was all made into a cream, I would just rub my babies down with that, rub it all down, to where they would sweat all the fever out. I did not do what they do nowadays. What they do nowadays is soak a baby in ice. I did not do that. I didn't believe in that, and I still don't believe in that. But the doctors nowadays, that's what they believe. And that's the way I used to nurse my babies, and I raised my 12, and they're alive, so I guess I did a good job.
What about for stomach problems? You said the vodka was good?
Yes, for stomach, there's the... I forgot the name of that. El cenizo. How do you call it? Istafiate. Yeah, istafiate. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I'm glad you remind me that, because I used to do that a lot. Istafiate is another herb and spice, or another herb. What you do, this is a long, kind of grayish leaves. What I used to do, I used to get the istafiate. I get the istafiate leaves and put it on my grill and get it real, real brown-like. A lot of brown, like, you know, until it's very toasted, like, that when you get the leaves, they crumble. And that's what I used to do. Then I would get a little bit of olive oil in a teaspoon and get this brown stuff, this burnt stuff, and put it in my olive oil. Put a little bit and just mix it up and give it to the baby. And if the baby was empachada, that would get the empacho out. Because usually when you have a stomachache, that means you have an infection in there. And if you have a baby, the way babies get infection, because how can a baby get infection? They don't need, you know. But the meat, sometimes it curds in there. It may curds like cottage cheese. And that's what gives them sometimes a stomachache or a colic. And this is what we use for that. And afterwards, you can give them a hot tea of whatever, cominos or anise. We use a lot of the anise for babies.
We have for pain, the stomach. Anise.
That's what we use. This is a our manzanilla, yes. These are all herbs and spices that we use.
When the baby have, let it guess, you know, yeah. Some people is no, put the baby for, uh-huh. Take the guess out. And then he give to the baby a little tea in the bottle, mm-hmm. Okay? Manzanilla. Uh-huh. And some people he put a 2-star with anise estrellado inside the tea, and this is do it, the baby he purple a lot, and the all the stomach is free, and the baby he not get a pain in the stomach.
Lydia, you use this with your children?
Yes. I never go to the doctor.
Where did you garden?
Huh?
Where did you garden?
For my mother-in-law. In Michoacán, Mexico.
See, this is the manzanilla.
Because my husband, he have úlcera, and they use manzanilla and anise estrellado when he have pain from the úlcera, and this is stop the pain too. And some people use olive oil with little bit salt in there, and they give to the baby too, and they put a little bit olive oil, you know. Little warm, the stomach pass around and in the back too, and the baby take away everything he have in the stomach when he go to the room, to the bedroom. Yeah.
Where do you, now you just showed me that herb. Where do you have to, do you collect that out yourself or do you have to buy that?
No, we buy what we cannot grow, we buy.
Do you grow any special things that you use?
I had my herb and spice garden. I have a lot.
Are there any special things that you grow for healing?
For healing. I don't, like I said, I don't recommend it for nobody unless they really know, or unless I know that they really have faith that they're going to use it right, you know. Other than that, I don't, but I do grow my own.
What is it that you grow?
I have zacate limón, I have estafiate, I have albahaca, I have ruda, and I have a sash, and so on. I have a lot of spices.
Okay, you mentioned ruda a minute ago too.
When yes.
Tell me what it is about ruda.
Well, I found out that ruda, I have used ruda all my life, but nowadays the doctors came out that the ruda contains a lot of mercury, and a lot of intake of mercury could kill a person. So they have found out that a lot of ruda could kill a person. I do not confirm it, but I have to go along under the laws.
What type of thing would you use ruda for?
Ruda, well, a lot of people use it for ponches. For ponches, this is like you would, like when you're on a diet, that you would put 2 or 3 eggs in a mixer and put some canela or whatever, you know. And you can put a little bit of ruda, and that would make it a good spice. And this is a ponche. This is a punch that you drink for to have a lot more energy, or you could substitute it for potassium, things like that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people that take medicines can get so worn out that they need some kind of, especially TB people with tuberculosis, they get so worn out, they do need ponches. Mm-hmm. And this is a good thing, this is a good way to get them started. Mm-hmm. To her. Yeah.
And where did you learn to use your herbs and spices? Who taught you?
Well, my mother taught me, but when I was bringing up my kids, I made up my mind. I was very young. I was very young when I was bringing up my oldest kids, but I make up my mind. Anybody that with wisdom or old, they give me some remedy, I'm gonna take it. And I did, and it has proven out right.
Okay. Maria, how long have you lived in Homestead area?
I have lived in Homestead about going on 11 years, maybe.
11 years.
Mm, something like that.
Okay.
Nathan, no te vas a caer, te vas a golpear.
You told me that your daughters make piñatas?
Yes, my daughters make piñatas.
Where did they learn to make piñatas?
By me.
So you make piñatas also?
Yes, I make piñatas also.
How long have you been doing that?
Oh, way back. My sisters showed me, my oldest sister showed me how to make piñatas. And that's how I learned piñatas.
How many children were in your family?
In my family, we were, it was me, six.
Were you the youngest?
One of the youngest, yes. I have a younger daughter, a younger sister.
Okay. Uh-huh. What about, do you do any of the needlework or handcrafts? I saw the skirt you made. Do you do embroidery work?
I do embroidery, I do crochet, I do quilts. Well, I call them quilts, but they're just blankets made out of rug yarn, and that's why I call them quilts. But they're not made out of pieces. They're made out of this yarn.
Where did you learn to do that?
A little bit from my mother and a little bit from the neighbors.
Also the crochet work?
The crochet, yes.
Well, we're almost at the end of the tape. I want to thank you for the interview.
My ambition.
Okay.
My ambition is to write a book on phrases later on.
What type of phrases?
Mexican phrases.
For example?
Because a lot of people talk about Mexican. Mm-hmm. A lot of Mexican people talk by phrases. And a lot of people who interpret phrases lose the flavor of the interpretation.
Uh-huh.
While it's in the process of interpretation, they lose.